Good morning, everyone. Today's Bible reading comes from the book of Matthew, chapter 5. We're starting at verse 13 through to 16. Matthew 5. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your God in heaven.
Thanks, Pete. Told you you'd all see a lot of me today. All right, so we're together. We're about to embark on a 20 or 30 minute journey through this passage. So as a church, if this is your first week here for or first time here for a while or your first time ever, we're slowly, very slowly working through a part of the Bible called the Sermon on the Mount, found in Matthew chapter 5, 6 and 7. And today is week 3. Of this series. And I suspect today, this passage that Peter was just read for us is, somewhat familiar. The familiar passage on being salt and light is what we are going to dig into today. Now, as we kicked off the service with prayer, I think it would be a good thing to kick off this time together in prayer too. So allow me to do that now. Lord, thanks that we can chat about the Bible, your word to us. Help us understand. Help us see. Help us hear today. Maybe we know this passage well. Maybe we've never heard it before. Either way, God, I'm sure that you want to speak to us through it. May we see you as bigger, better, more loving, more powerful as a result of what is about to happen here. May we leave here with a greater sense of awe of you, love for you, and a greater desire to submit, follow, and serve you. God, thanks for this chance we have together as a community to dive into the Word and to worship you. Please help us make the most of it. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, straight up. It's worth us figuring out what is with Jesus calling us salt. I think the idea of light, right, that little illustration of light, that's fairly straightforward, but what's with the salt? Today, if we say someone is salty, it means that person is angry or bitter or overly upset about something. Maybe they lost the board game, which I am very proficient at doing, and they sulk and they moan, they drop their bottom lip, which I am also very proficient at doing. Bianca and I, my wife and I, we enjoy a good board game. Often the game is kind of close, only to nearly always have victory snatched away from me in the last second as Bianca unleashes some secret tactic which I had no idea about. She'll definitely confirm this fact, and I definitely get a little bit salty about this. Now, the saltiness is not what Jesus is talking about. This kind of saltiness, at least, is not what Jesus is talking about. Salt, in the time of Jesus, was an important thing. Right? Refrigeration, that didn't exist. Ice, not readily available in the desert. Meat, fresh produce, all that stuff, it just didn't last long. So salt was used as a preserving agent. Salt helped preserve meat. Without salting meat, it would go rotten incredibly quick. Salt was commonly used in this way in this time as a preserving agent. Now also, like salt does today, it adds flavor. It brings out the taste in food. Just a little bit of salt sprinkled on a meal can really bring it to life. Think about it. What is a hot chip if it's not dusted with salt? It's tasteless and dull. In fact, I would argue that the entire job of a hot chip is to be something that the salt can simply stick to. Now, I don't know that I've ever heard anyone say no thanks when the person at the takeaway shop asks if they'd like salt on their chips. So when Jesus says we are the salt of the earth, he's telling us we are to preserve and add flavor. The world and the sin of the world means that that it's rotting. It's decaying. Sin has set in and begun to do its work. The church, us, we're called by Jesus to be salt, to preserve it, to slow the decay, to be rubbed into the rotting flesh. And then the second job of salt is to bring out the flavor, right? We are called to bring out the good in the world. Jesus wants his followers to bring life to earth, to bring joy to others. Like a hot chip, life can be a bit drab, meaningless, empty, lonely. Jesus calls us to bring the flavor, the spice, the taste, the joy, and the life. Now, we're going to go into all this a little bit more in a while, but it's worth us being clear on the saltiness that Jesus is talking about here before we go any further. Are we good with the salt thing? Any questions on the salt thing? No? All right, let's move on. Not that I want to drag us into guilt and despair, but I think we would do well to look first at our lack of salt and light in our own lives. Are we, as a church community and as individuals, out there rubbing salt into the rotting flesh? Are we actively slowing the decay in the world? Are we actively bringing out the light? What about a Christian who works a normal 9-to-5 job, if a 9-to-5 job even exists anymore with all this flex time and stuff? But anyway, they can attend church on a Sunday, but keep their faith completely private at work. You know, maybe their colleagues make crude jokes or gossip or even cut ethical corners to get ahead, and the Christian sort of simply laughs along the way or stays silent to avoid standing out. That is not being salt or light. Their faith makes no visible difference. What about this example? We can be passionate about our beliefs and spend a lot of time on social media arguing with people. Rather than sharing the gospel with grace, we can engage in harsh debates, calling people out in a way that seems self-righteous. We might even post negative comments about other Christians who don't align with our views. Non-Christians would then look at our online presence and conclude that Christians are judgmental rather than loving. This is not salty or lighty. This kind of witness pushes people away rather than drawing them to Christ. And what if someone you know, or even someone you just see on the side of the road maybe, is going through a tough time, and maybe they're asking you, because you've stopped to help them, deep questions about life? Now, the Christian can avoid engaging in spiritual conversations because they don't want to sort of seem, pushy. In a culture like the one that we live in, it's easy to justify to ourselves that we should keep quiet. No one wants to hear what I believe. People will get offended. It will only do harm if I share. This, too, is not a description of a salty or, again, a lighty Christian. Yet these examples and many more that I haven't shared are not unfamiliar to us. We have in one way, shape or form fallen for this type of living. Maybe we're so familiar with this type of living that it just seems normal. Maybe we fall for it from time to time. But this is not how we be like Jesus. This is not how we be salt and light. Now, I don't single out these scenarios because I want to just pick on these kinds of things. But those scenarios are not all that hard to imagine happening, are they? I suspect if you're like me, we've at least all seen things like this happen or heard of it. And if you're honest, like I'm about to be, we've actively engaged in it too. The church and the individuals who make up the church, that's you and me, have not been salty. We've not been that light either. We tend to want to blend into the world around us. We don't want to stand out. What does Jesus say about this? What good is salt if it's lost its saltiness? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown away and trampled underfoot. What good is light under a cover? What good is a light that's hidden? It is useless. Flavorless salt is completely pointless. A lighthouse that's covered its light is useless. We are not salty, at least not all the time. And we're not, I tried to think of a better word, lighty, We are not well illuminated. I'm just going to stick with lighty. We're not lighty, at least not all of the time. Where does that leave us then? We need to be honest with ourselves and recognize that we are neither of these things all of the time, as Jesus has said we need to be. But remember what we talked about in week one. If you were here a couple of weeks ago, we talked about how this Sermon on the Mount is not simply just a list of rules that we are called to follow. It's not simply some moralistic or ethical rule book that we are called to live by. Remember, this text first shows us who Jesus is. Jesus is salt. He rubs salt vigorously into the rotting flesh of mankind. Not simply to make the wound sting, but his words and actions have preserved and added immense flavor to the world. The preservation and the flavor of which is still felt and tasted today. And Jesus is the light. He stood tall and shone the light brightly in an incredibly dark world. The bright light he emitted can still be seen and felt today as well. We are called to reflect this light, to be this light today, and we simply don't do a good job of it. Now, sure, there might be times when we show bits and pieces of light, and we can show light when we share about what Jesus has done in our lives to those who don't know him, right? We do this from time to time. And yes, we might add a little bit of flavor here and there and help preserve the rotting world that when we engage in acts of social justice or help someone out who's in a bind. I'm not saying we never do it. But we are far from perfectly preserving and perfectly lighting up the darkness, aren't we? I certainly find myself not wanting to stand out in the crowd. I certainly find myself wanting to blend in with the world. I don't always want to be salt and light. Not only do I not want to do it, but I find myself giving into these desires and simply am not salt and light like Jesus has called me to be. Again, what good is it to be saltless salt? What good is it to be lightless light? It is useless. I'm not saying I'm useless, nor am I saying that you're useless. What I'm saying is that we fail to live like Jesus lived. We fail to live as he called us to live. We're not just failures, though. God doesn't just leave us there. Again, let's look to Jesus, see what he is like. Jesus was as salty as possible and as lighty as possible when he hung on the cross. When he died in our place, he rubbed salt into the rotting flesh, not to cause pain, but to put a stop to decay and sin in our lives. His death on the cross defeated sin for us. The sin and the rot that we so often find ourselves surrounded with has been defeated in Jesus. We are not left to wallow in and decay in the rot and filth of the world. Jesus poured himself out like the biggest salt shaker imaginable to preserve and to protect his people from sin. Jesus was and is the greatest and brightest light to ever exist. He's been bringing people out of spiritual darkness and into the light. That is what he does, and he has done for the past 2,000 plus years. Every one of us who love and follow Jesus can attest to being brought out of the darkness, out of the hopelessness of our own lives, the meaningless grind, the pointless suffering, the purposeless existence. Jesus has brought people from the darkness of guilt and shame, out of the darkness of pride and arrogance, out of the darkness of despair. He did it for me. He's done it for a whole bunch of us here today. Jesus is the light. Darkness flees from the light. He will bring you into the light too. He did all this, right, by taking our sin, nailing it to the cross, defeating it there as the perfect once and for all sacrifice, only to defeat death, rise again, and make a way for us to be with God again. Jesus poured himself out for us. He is salt on the rotting flesh of sin. He is light filling the darkness. That doesn't mean that rot and sin isn't here for us. It doesn't mean that darkness isn't here either, Both of these things are in our lives and surrounding them. But the salt Jesus offers, it covers it, washes us clean of it time and time again. And the light that he gives chases away the darkness time and time again. And he did it because we're not always salt and light. Not all the time, and certainly not perfectly. Which takes us now to the Lord's Supper, this table here on my right, your left. A celebration, a time of remembrance of what Jesus did for us in the, on the cross and in the grave. Jesus' body was broken, his blood was poured out in the ultimate display of love to forgive us, to make a way for his people to come back to him, clean, forgiven, made right with God. This is the good news of Christianity. Our rotten flesh, our sin, our evil desires, our failings, our darkness are not fixed by doing good things. There's not some sort of scale in our lives that we have to, you know, of good versus bad things that we have to try and, you know, make it way even up. It's not our job to make the good things outweigh the bad. No, the bad side has an elephant sitting on it. It's weighed down well beyond anything we can ever overcome. The scales cannot be tipped by us. We are only forgiven because Jesus took our punishment and died in our place. He and only he could do it. And he did. So that's what we celebrate this morning. If you know and believe Jesus did this for you, if you know and believe he took your sin, that he defeated it for you on the cross, if you know and believe that he died but didn't stay dead, he rose to not only conquer sin but death too. If you know and believe this and you live a life forgiven and made right with God and you look forward to eternity in paradise with him, please join us. Join us in celebrating. Feel free to take a cup and a piece of the bread. If you're not too sure, though, what all this is about, you're just figuring all this God stuff out or just checking this out, please let it pass you by. There is no pressure from us to take it. We won't look at you funny and we will not kick you out. So I'd like to ask our serving people to come up now. But as we distribute the bread and the juice, please hold on to them and we'll eat together in just a moment. Thanks, guys.
Start on the outside looking in. This is where grace begins. We were hungry, we were thirsty, with nothing left to give. Oh, the shape that we were in. And just when all hope seemed lost, love opened the door for us. He said, come to the table. Come join the sinners who have been redeemed. Take your place beside the Savior. Sit down and be set free. Come to the table. No one unwelcome here. And that sin and shame that you brought with you, you can leave it at the door and let mercy draw you.
I'd like to read to us from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, 23 to 26. It says this: The Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you'll proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." The piece of bread that you hold, the little cup of juice, are symbols, signs to help us have a tangible reminder of Jesus' body and blood, his body broken, his blood poured out for you and for me. Take the bread, eat it, remember and believe that Jesus' body was broken. The salt shaker emptied itself to preserve and put a stop to the rotting decay of sin in our lives. Take it, eat it, remember and believe. Let's eat together now. And the cup helps us remember. Remember and believe that Jesus' blood was poured out for you. That he brought us from the darkness and into the light. And his light is now in us, and the darkness has not and cannot overcome it. Take the cup, drink it, remember and believe. Let's pray. God, what else can we do except say thank you? Thank you for your Son, Jesus. Thank you for the life you give us here and now, forgiven, and the promise of eternity with you because of what Jesus did. Lord, thanks that he is salt and light perfectly. And however imperfect we are covered by your grace. Help us to want to be salt wherever we go, not because we have to, but because we want to. We want to be more like Christ. Help us do it, God. It's in his name we pray. Amen. Can I have my clicker going again, Peter? Anyway, next slide when you get a second. All right, so to bring all this home, we're not often salty or lighty people, right? Jesus is the perfect example of salt and light. We see it in his life, and we see it in his sacrifice for us. Even though we oftentimes suck at being salt and light, we are forgiven because of the blood and the body of Christ. What now? Right? We'll go and be salt and light in a dark and rotting world. Be like Jesus. Not because we have to try and tip the scales of good and bad in our lives, but because God loves us and has called us to be salt and light. If we really understand what God has done for us, how can we not want to be salt and light? We live forgiven, right? We live loved. We live with purpose. We live with a relationship with the God of the universe. How could we possibly not want others to live the same? Jesus has called us to be like him, to be salt, to slow the decay of a sinful world by bringing him into everything that we do and say, to add flavor and life to the lives of people who don't know him. In some ways, we're called to be the hot chips of the world, a vessel simply to carry the salt. Jesus has also called us to be the light of the world. That means people who bring hope in despair, grace where there's guilt, truth where there's lies, love where there is hate, joy where there's sorrow, and light where there is darkness. Don't be afraid to stick your neck out for him. Don't be unsalty salt or a light under a basket. Jesus wasn't. Seek out opportunities to bring salt and light into conversations at work or at home or at school. Jesus did. Think back to the examples I gave at the start. A salty and lighty Christian, working a normal 9-to-5 job, lives out their faith with integrity and kindness. They don't participate in the crude jokes or gossip, and they choose honesty over cutting ethical corners. They treat colleagues with respect, showing patience and grace, even, especially, in difficult situations. While they may not preach openly, their actions reflect Christ's love. And when opportunities arise, they're not afraid to share their hope in Jesus, even in small ways. Their presence makes a difference, and the people notice something different about them, and that something is good. And instead of engaging in harsh debates online or calling people out in a self-righteous way, a salty, lighty Christian uses social media to build others up and to share truth with grace. They engage in discussions with wisdom and gentleness, knowing that kindness opens more doors than criticism does. Rather than tearing others down, especially fellow believers, they promote unity and encouragement. And when non-Christians see their online presence, they encounter a person who reflects Christ's love, not just in what they say, but in how they say it. And when when a salty and lighty Christian sees someone who's struggling and asking deep questions about life, they see this as an opportunity to share hope. Instead of avoiding conversation out of fear, they listen. And then with compassion, they respond with truth in a way that's gentle and respectful. They don't force their beliefs on others, but offer words of encouragement, pointing to Jesus as a source of true peace. In a culture where many hesitate to talk about faith, their willingness to engage in honest, caring conversations stands out, offering light to a world that often feels dark. Be salt and light. Not because we have to, but because the one who loves us has called us to. And how can we not? His salt and light has invaded your life. May we continue to help the spread of it in others too. And that last verse in the passage, all for his glory, not our own. May all our saltiness, all our lightiness, all of it point others to him, not to ourselves. Let's pray. God, thanks for being salt and light in our lives, for removing the rot of sin and guilt, for adding flavor and joy to our lives. Thanks for lighting us up in a light that cannot be extinguished, a light that has overcome the darkest of darknesses. You have called us to be salt and light. May it not be a burdensome task, but a response of sheer joy, a response out of love and obedience for all that you have done for us. God, the world out there is not that flavorsome and awfully dark at times. Actually, our own lives right here, right now, in this very building, can be and might be like that right now. Lord, please show us. Help us to understand how you have washed us clean. You have removed the guilt of sin. The rot and filth of it doesn't stick anymore because you have poured salt on us. You have saved us. You brought light into our deepest darkness. And I pray that we would all know this today. And as a result of this, God, may our response be to go and do likewise, to be salt and light in a bland, meaningless and dark world. Help us do this, please, God, because your ways are good, because the salt and light is in us. May we boldly share it with others. In Jesus' mighty, salty and lighty name. Amen. I'm going to sing one last song, I believe. Thanks, Pete and the team.